As a teenager, Helen Jonas was rounded up with her family and sent to the Plaszow concentration camp in Poland, where a monstrous Nazi commander named Amon Göth took her into his house.
He lived like a king, and he had his mistress with him, and he had those two slaves. And unfortunately, I was one of them.
Among the commandant's friends was a man named Oskar Schindler. In 1946, Göth was convicted of the murders of tens of thousands of people and hanged for his crimes. Many years later, Göth's daughter, Monika Hertwig, saw a documentary on TV about Schindler and Holocaust survivors, which included an interview with a woman she'd heard about her whole life who used to be a slave in her father's house.
And when I saw her, I liked her. Just from seeing that woman, I thought I ever knew this woman in my life.
The story of their meeting is told in a new documentary, Inheritance, which will be screened here in Washington tonight at the Holocaust Museum. Later, it will be broadcast on PBS as part of the POV series. It starts December 10th. Check your local listings. Helen Jonas and director James Mall join us here in Studio 3A, and welcome both of you to Talk of the Nation. It's a pleasure to have you with on the program today.
Thank you.
And Helen, we all watched the movie Schindler's List as a piece of, well, Hollywood history. What was it like for you to sit in a theater and see Ralph Fiennes portray Amon Göth, the man who you call a monster?
It was very real to me, sitting there and watching, especially Amon Göth ordering to kill. I felt when he hit the maid, I felt the pain on my cheek. It was very difficult to watch. It was very realistic.
As you describe him in the film Inheritance, he was a brute, a man who routinely pushed you down the stairs for the slightest of infractions, for any reason whatsoever, a man who enjoyed killing.
I felt he did. It was his sport. It was something that he enjoyed, and he felt good about it. His expression on his face when he went to kill people and came back to the villa. He whistled a happy tune. He looked content. It was unbelievable to see a human being behaving in such a way. He was a brutal murderer.
And again, most of us know Oskar Schindler as a character in a movie or in a book. You knew him when you were a girl, as a visitor, a friend of this monster.
He came as a frequent guest to Amon Göth. He stayed over nights, but whenever they had parties, he participated with the crowd, with other SS, and a lot of talk was taking place in the living room. I was not allowed to stay when they started to speak or discuss things. However, he was different. He was civilian. Excuse me.
Certainly.
He was one of those that was striking. He always had a smile on his face, and he would come down to the kitchen to comfort me. I didn't understand at the time who the man was because I saw him with the rest of the Gestapo SS, and he also embraced many times Amon Göth like his best friend. So I was quite confused, but at the same time, him coming down, comforting me, telling me I will survive, to have hope. He patted me on my head, and I was scared for a while, not knowing what he really was. Till after the war and being in his camp, I found out that he was for real. He was the one that tried to help and tried to save us.
Let's bring Oscar-winning filmmaker James Mall into the conversation, and it's good to have you on the program as well. How did you get onto this story?
I had been working with Steven Spielberg on with an organization called the Shoah Foundation, where we videotaped testimonies of Holocaust survivors all over the world, and Helen was one of the survivors who gave testimony to the Shoah Foundation. A few years after that, I was working on a documentary about Oskar Schindler for the 10-year anniversary of the Schindler's List release and needed to get the rights to a photograph, and it was owned by Amon Göth's daughter, Monika. So I called her in Germany and started to speak with her, arrogantly as an American calling Germany and thinking someone's going to answer the phone and speak to me in English,
yeah.
Which she did. And in the middle of the conversation, she gave me the rights to use the photograph, and she said, "You know, I'm not my father." And right away, that started me asking her questions about, you know, growing up, have people always identified her by who her father was? And she sort of laughed and said, "Of course." And that started a conversation where I thought, okay, this is a side of the Holocaust that, as many stories as I've heard and as much as I've studied about the Holocaust, this is something I haven't heard. This is a side, you know, to hear not only how the Nazis affected the Jews and their other victims, but their own families was something I hadn't explored. And so I knew at that time I wanted to.
Monica was supposed to be with us on the show today. She was delayed on a flight from Paris, and we regret that she couldn't be with us today, but we wanted to go ahead and have the conversation anyway. But I did want to ask you, as you spoke with her, was it her idea to have the meeting with Helen?
It was. She asked me, she got, not in that for initial conversation, but we spoke afterwards. She asked me if I could find Helen, if I knew Helen. And if I could find Helen, because she had been trying to get in touch with her for years. She has been looking for answers, I think not so much about her father, because she knows who her father was, but about her mother who had lived there. And she really was trying to get some answers, hoping that maybe her mother wasn't as bad as perhaps she thought. And she really wanted to meet with Helen. So I approached Helen at a Shoah Foundation function and said, "I've been in touch with Monica, and she would like to get in touch with you." And Helen immediately said, "No, I can't do that. I don't want to meet this woman." And later, Helen came up to me that same day, and she took my arm and said, "I want to talk to you more about this." And it started an ongoing conversation, which ultimately led to both women deciding to meet with each other in Poland at Plaszów at the camp, and we were there with cameras. And we filmed it.
Helen Jonas, at one point in the movie, you turned to your daughter who accompanied you on the visit and said, "Did you notice she seems to be more angry with her mother than she was with her father?"
Yes, that's how I felt. I felt that by listening and kept saying to me, "I believe you, I believe you," that she acknowledged the fact already and she accepted the fact that he did what he did. However, she couldn't understand that she was there and she couldn't do anything. That was her question to me.
About her mother, that she didn't do anything.
And to clear up, she was not her mother. She was not his wife at the time.
Right.
She was his mistress. And she actually didn't want to know anything.
Hmm.
The music, she turned on high when there was shooting. You could hear shooting from the villa.
And she would pay no attention.
And she would just make believe like it isn't. But I did want to please her and tell her that at one time there was a lot of commotion going on in the camp. And she came down. She was in the kitchen at the time. And she said to us, "If I could, I would send you all home, but I can't." Hmm. Just to please Monica, I understand that she wrote me a letter. In the letter, one sentence really moved me and made the decision to go ahead with it. She said on the very end, "Helen, I really appreciate that you're coming to see me. I know that it's very hard for you, but it's hard for me as well. But we have to do it for the murdered people." And that really touched me. I felt she's sensitive and she wants the world to know. As for me, this is my mission, to be able to tell the world what happened, and I'm a live witness.
There's another moment in the film when very quickly you turned to your daughter and said, "It was very selfish of him to have a daughter," of course referring to Amon Get.
Very much so. Very much so, to give a life, to not to think about another human being who will probably find out everything about him. I don't think that he felt guilty in any way. I think he was doing a great job for the country, and he had an embedded hatred. He was exactly what I described. He was a large human being, a tall, big man, but he was a wild animal. There was no way that you could really explain anything to him if something went wrong. There came the beating, hitting, with no mercy whatsoever.
We're speaking with Helen Jonas and filmmaker James Mall. His picture, Inheritance, will be screened tonight at the Holocaust Museum here in Washington, D.C. It's part of the POV series that's broadcast on PBS and makes its debut next week on many PBS stations around the country. Check local listings. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And James Mall, the word inheritance, your film is, in many respects, about the sins of the father being visited upon the daughter, and about the trauma of the victims of the Holocaust being visited upon their children, too.
That's right. In the film, Helen brings her daughter with her to when she meets Monica. And so here we have the daughter of a Nazi perpetrator and the daughter of a Holocaust survivor standing together on the ground where this actually took place. So it was fascinating to me on many levels, and I really didn't know where the documentary would end up and what would happen when these two women would meet. It was very important to me to have the crew stay out of the way as much as possible, filming with long lenses. You know, they were mic'd so we could hear what they were saying, but we really wanted to give the two of them the opportunity to meet and talk, and we were just flies on the wall.
In that meeting, obviously, you know, you're being filmed. You know you're being recorded. Yet you seem very genuine in those moments with Monica.
I feel that she's a victim as well. And the purpose of her meeting me is to tell the world as well the truth. And she, as sad as it was for me to tell her who her father was, I had to tell her the truth. She wanted to know the truth. And I felt very shaken up walking through the villa. It's so different. It was refurnished, completely different. However, everything came back to me. And I felt him in the villa. And I was walking through the rooms, just looking at my daughter's sad face. And I said, I had to be strong for her. And I wanted to be able to tell the world what kind of atrocities and brutalities took place in this camp. And this man was the only one that gave orders who is to live and who is to die.
He was God.
I think he thought he was more than God, because he could control everything. And I felt that I couldn't show any emotion. I was told by him, in my house, I don't want to see any sad faces. I couldn't cry. I had to be strong. I had no one to protect me, and I had to learn very fast. And somehow I did. And somehow I feel that being here and talking about it, I have a mission.
In the film, we see his execution, his hanging, botched first once, then again. And then we see his neck break on the third attempt. That can't have been the first time you saw that film.
I saw the premiere of this film. I was invited to the premiere. You know, to me, he was a wild man. I heard his steps, and I shivered. I heard his voice, and I didn't know what the next things will come. And the way he tortured people, the way he killed my very best friend, knowing that he's my friend, and I had to serve him afterwards. And I couldn't show a sad face. This was torture for me. And I don't know, I guess I had some kind of higher power to protect me. Because so many times that little gun, that little revolver that he always carried was near my skull. And somehow I'm still alive. So I think it's a miracle. And I feel they own it too. All the survivors and all my people that suffered so much to take part of it and meet with Monica. And as hard as it is, and it was and still is, I will continue as long as I can, because those people that perished so tragically, they have no chance to speak.
The story of Helen Jonas's meeting with Monica, the daughter of her torturer, is told in the story in the movie Inheritance, which will be broadcast next week as part of the POV series on PBS. Helen Jonas, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Our thanks also to James Mall, the director and editor of the movie, with us here in 3A. It will be screened tonight at the Holocaust Museum here in Washington, D.C. And James, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Tomorrow, what the Meghan Meyer cyberbullying case means for the rest of it. Could it criminalize fake online profiles? Join us for that. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.